This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, June 29th, 2018. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It is a hot and steamy Friday. An excessive heat warning is up until 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Right now, 89 degrees at O'Hare, 87 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, the markets in positive territory. Let's get the latest on trading from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow now higher by 248 points, or more than 1%. We're at 24,465. NASDAQ gaining 40 points, or 0.5%. S&P on the rise by 22. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.2%. We are on track for a weekly win across the board for the month of June. Year to date, the Dow is still in the red, down about 1%. Strength today coming from the financial sector. JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup say they will distribute a record $110 billion to shareholders, and that is less than they had planned. The Fed rejected their proposals to pay even more. Shares of Nike are rising to a record. Its North American sales pulled out of a slump last quarter. Nike up almost 12% today. Worries about the impact of a trade war have consumers feeling less upbeat, according to the University of Michigan. And the Commerce Department finds our incomes were higher by 0.4% in May over April. We're not spending the extra dollars in our paychecks, though. Consumer spending rose just 0.2%, half the forecast rise. Inflation rose at the fastest rate in 6 years, up 2.3% compared to this time last year. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to take a closer look at the report cards on the big banks, and Bitcoin drops below 6,000.
The 4th of July weekend is rapidly closing in on Thanksgiving, and Memorial Day is one of the biggest travel periods of the year. And it's Entrepreneur Friday. We will talk about a German business moving into Chicago. It's reinventing the dorm. All of that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
The best daily deal in Chicago. The WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Bank shares jumped in trading this morning after the Fed handed out report cards. What did we hear from the banks?
You know, I think the banks and the Fed stress test was one of the things I've talked about when I've been on the show. And the listeners, you know, the Fed is really tough on these banks. This was the toughest stress test, actually, that the Fed has ever done, with the parameters were unemployment double digits, car loans failing, just a complete disaster scenario. Most of the banks did actually well, and they can now give out better dividends. So, you know, even though financials have been one of the sectors that has been caught up in the sort of downdraft that we just keep on, even though we're having a great day today, then the market fades a little bit. Financials have not been the favorite place to be, but at least today they're looking a lot better. The banks did well, and they can keep on paying pretty big dividends.
We're seeing that Bitcoin is skidding under $6,000 right now. Of course, blockchain continues to pick up popularity.
You know, Chris, there was a really interesting article by one of the Federal Reserves about, can blockchain really work? And I think some of the listeners out there have read a little bit about Bitcoin, the amount of electricity and power that it uses. And, you know, right now, Bitcoin did drop below key technical levels, below 6,000. It's 5,900. It kind of has that look of a mania that popped, and now we've had this slow grind down, you know, for the last few months with no bottom really in sight. And so a lot of the fundamentals of Bitcoin as a legitimate currency that can be used in the long run are now being openly questioned. So, you know, I think for the Bitcoin investors and the cryptocurrency investors, unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any clarity and end in sight to the decline.
Well, Nike stock has hit an all-time high. It feels like we're back in the 1990s with Nike back in the spotlight in such a way. What's Nike doing differently?
Yeah, Rob, it's like a throwback show. You know, after this market that just seems to favor only the technology stocks. Here we have a manufacturer, retailer, old class, you know, name brand, all of a sudden blast to a new all-time high. They had excellent earnings, excellent revenue, up 13%. They seem to be taking the lessons of the new economy. They're making partnerships with Amazon, partnerships with these upstarts like Stitch Fix. They're going direct to consumer. Their merchandising is better. You have to work harder. You know, when Amazon can come out, buy PillPack, which is in the different sector in the pharmaceuticals, for $1 billion, which is almost like pocket change for them, and then blast CVS and Walgreens 10% apiece. You got to work hard. You got to execute in this market. That's what Nike shows.
And what are some, I mean, you talked about some of Nike's strategic partnerships, but what is their most consistent revenue stream? I mean, we still kind of live in an era where you have people who line up outside of Nike Town when a new sneaker comes out. Do they still make a lot of money and generate a lot of attention based on those rollouts, or is it just money coming in from different places and from all sorts of different sectors of the athletic world?
Yeah, that's a great point you're making, kind of with the answer is tremendous cash flow. People need footwear. It's the rubber soles. They're distributing billions of dollars of it and making money. Now, investors have not liked cash flow situations lately. They don't like CVS, Walgreens, even though they have tremendous cash flow. But Nike at least got the top line in. They make a lot of money on basic footwear in all avenues of the merchandise sectors. So that's the story that investors like today.
With going back to Bitcoin, and that is just because when Bitcoin was up above $10,000 and you had stories about 50 Cent all of a sudden coming into a Bitcoin windfall, it seems like the Bitcoin bubble, was that inflated by actual value? Was that actual investors, or was this simply a media creation?
It was just one of those things. And, you know, academic studies are now showing that there was probably quite a bit of manipulation. You know, there's always a kernel of truth to it. You know, the cryptocurrencies had, you know, some great ideas behind it. But as people dig deeper, as people realize the power consumption, that, you know, everyone's trying to be a blockchain distributor. Companies were changing their name to be blockchain and going up and then falling. It just became too much. And, you know, right now, the sentiment is so terrible in Bitcoin. I mean, it's not a regulated currency. As an advisor, of course, we can't supervise it. So I think all the negatives have just finally come home to roost with it.
While at the same time, blockchain seems to be doing pretty well. Matt, thanks for joining us today. Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital here in Chicago. Up next, several banks receive approval for their capital return plans.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Bank shares jumped in trading this morning after the Fed gave the most banks approval to raise dividends and buybacks. Joining us now is Dick Beauvais, Chief Strategist at Hilton Capital Management in New York. Dick, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about the clean bill of health that the banks received today.
Well, I think it's pretty clear over the last 2-3 years that the banks in the United States have added a substantial amount of equity. They've been forced to write down their bad loans, and they've built up a tremendous amount of liquidity. I mean, you have big banks in this country that are sitting on $300 to $500 billion in cash and treasury securities. So it was not terribly surprising that the stress test indicated that their financial condition was relatively good.
Is the practice of banks receiving a stress test from the Fed, which is a practice that was born out of the financial crisis, is that something that is likely to continue under a new administration?
No, I don't think it will. And I think it's already lost its true purpose. The true purpose, if you read Mr. Geithner's book, and he was obviously Treasury Secretary at the time the thing was put in place, was to assure the nation that its banks were safe. since the nation has been assured that over the last couple of years, what the stress test has now become is a question as to what types of dividends and stock buybacks these banks can go forward with. And I think there's already some signs coming out of the Federal Reserve that in 2019 we won't have a stress test, and or the stress test that we have will be somewhat minor in nature. So I think that the history of the stress test is about to end.
When we have heard a few times on this program people saying it's a possibility that there's a recession out there. Of course, there's always a possibility, but more than just a possibility in this case. When you look at a bank report like this, do you say, no, the economy is really solid?
Well, you know, if you look at the balance sheet of the banks, you would say the economy is really solid. But if you look at the income statement, you get a different picture, because we're not seeing these big banks increase their lending. In other words, loan growth has been very meager, and we're in a situation where money supply growth now is around 4% year over year, and it should be somewhere around 6.25%. The Fed is shrinking its balance sheet. We've had 7 increases in the Fed funds rate, and supposedly, although I don't believe it, supposedly there'll be 2 more this year and 3 more next year. So I think you can make either case. You look at the balance sheet, you say, my goodness, there's no problem in sight. You look at the income statements and you look at what the Fed is doing and you say, gee, can this thing really continue?
Dick, thanks so much for your observations. It's nice to have you on the program. Dick Beauvais is chief strategist at Hilton Capital Management in New York. Still ahead, America's roads and airports will be very busy leading up to the 4th of July.
WBBM News Time, 1225. WBBM Business, sponsored by ShopYourBank.com. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we are closing out the week, the month, and the first half of the year in the green. The Dow is up 247 points, or more than 1%, and the benchmark's at 24,462. NASDAQ up 0.2%, or 45 points, and the S&P on the advance by 21. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg higher by 0.2%. If the U.S. proceeds with new tariffs on cars and auto parts, the global free trade system would be put at great risk. That's the warning from the Japanese government today. Japan says retaliatory measures against the U.S. could result in damage to the U.S. manufacturing and agricultural industries. Crude oil futures continue their march higher, up another 1% today and now moving above $74 a week. Year to date, crude oil has gained almost 25%. We've got a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grains are all higher today on the last day of the week and the month. We also had a USDA report come out today, and it was neutral to negative. They expected it to be a little negative. And as a result of all of that, plus the hot weather coming, we have grains across the board higher. Corn was up over 10, backed off to only up 5. We're now up 9.5 in December at 375.5. Beans were up as much as 15. We're back to only up 4.5 at 888. And wheat was up 24. We're still up 23.5 at 503. Higher grain prices, mostly on hot weather coming. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Pete, thank you. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are up today. We'll take a look at what's driving the markets.
Americans will be taking to the roads and airports in record numbers ahead of the 4th of July.
A tech-based co-living experience for millennials coming to Chicago.
Meanwhile, the city's best watering holes are honored.
And dangerously high temperatures and humidity are hitting the Chicago area.
Wall Street, the Dow up 236, the NASDAQ up 43, and the S&P 500 up by 20.
Mostly sunny, breezy, very hot and humid today. A high today of 96. It'll feel like 105. It's 89 degrees right now. Now, as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
A record number of people are expected to travel by plane, train, or automobile ahead of the 4th of July holiday next week. Joining us, Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Are we prepared for this, Joe?
Well, it's going to be hot on the highways, you might say. It's really hot weather, but of course the driving numbers are looking up despite the fuel price rise. So this should be quite an interesting holiday to watch with record volumes.
I remember, was it 5 years ago or so, where we were paying so much for gasoline? Where are we right now?
You know, we've had oil prices a couple months ago started going up, and that has the airlines nervous. But demand hasn't tapered off at all. You know, air travel is supposed to be up 7.9% this holiday. I think what's interesting, though, is 4th of July being in the middle of the week, that traffic's going to get spread out over a longer period, and that's good news for the airlines, just more seats they can fill.
Where is the 4th of July on the pantheon of big travel holidays? Has it muscled its way into the conversation with Memorial Day and Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah. No doubt it has not. It's sort of a holiday where people enjoy outdoor activity and things like that. And, you know, Thanksgiving and then Christmas and the year, New Year's holiday are in a category all to their own. But I think we're seeing just a trend here. When people do travel, especially when they fly, they go further. So even though the air numbers have been only up a few percent, people are going much farther. So, boy, it's lots of revenue for the airlines.
Are we expecting today to be the big, heavy day?
You know, Tuesday is supposed to be the absolute peak with, you know, both local travelers coming home from work, you know, the usual Tuesday rush hour, and then you throw in the throngs of people getting out of town for short weekends. We know a lot of people, the numbers show, people are starting their holiday on Tuesday and not coming back till Sunday. And it's going to be a lively time in our city because tourism is doing really well. And, you know, you add that to people heading out of town, and O'Hare may hit record numbers.
Thank you very much, Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University, based in Chicago. Moving on to stocks trading higher today. Joining us with a technical look at the financial markets is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios. He's also the author of Macro Tides, a monthly commentary on the global economy, based in San Diego. Jim, welcome back to the program. As we approach the halfway point of the trading year, how would you assess the state of the financial markets in 2018?
Well, it's certainly been a little bit more interesting than in 2017. The one thing I will tell you, first of all, let me not forget to wish you and all listeners a happy and safe 4th of July. As an ex-Chicagoan, I appreciate how well everyone celebrates the 4th. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and we'll have a special traffic report on Northwest Indiana fireworks store parking lots.
Well,
crazy Kaplan's.
San Diego, they celebrate it a little bit differently, but anyway, I look at positioning and sentiment as being really key components of trying to gauge trend changes. So what I will tell you is in February of this year, there were only about 10% bulls on the dollar. I was positive, thought it could rally to 95. It rallied over 95 by a little bit. There are now 90% bulls on the dollar. So I think the dollar just peaked in the last couple of days. Conversely, the percent of bulls on gold have been under 10% for 2 weeks. Gold is very oversold. No one likes it. I like gold. I think gold is going to rally in the second half of this year. In terms of the equity market, I think we're near a short-term high, and I think potentially we're going to see the market sell off maybe 3 to 7% between now and Labor Day, and that should set up, I think, a very nice rally going into year-end. So near-term, I'm not very positive on the market. If I'm going to be wrong, I would tell you that if the S&P moves much above 2792, then it's probably going on to new highs. I don't think that's going to happen.
Jim, is there a relationship between gold going higher and some instability or nervousness among people who are investing? They take gold instead.
You know, it's hard, Lynn, it's very difficult for me to find anything that's really truly correlated. I would say the dollar and gold are probably one of the two more inversely correlated. So dollar strength typically results in gold weakness. But even there, it's not, 100%. I just think, given, as I said earlier, the sentiment on the dollar is 90% bulls, 10% bulls on gold. I think this is a setup for the positioning to cause gold to rally because no one cares about it. And that usually is a good time to get interested.
Okay, Jim, thanks so much for joining us and have a nice holiday. Jim Welsh is macro strategist and portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios, author of Macro Tides, a monthly commentary on the global economy, and he's based in San Diego. Still to come, widely newsed popular living experiences for millennials and young professionals. They're set to come to Chicago.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. New living experiences geared toward young professionals that have become wildly popular in Germany and New York are coming to Chicago. Joining us is Günter Schmidt, the founder and CEO of Medici Living Group, based in Berlin. Nice to have you on the program, Günter. Tell us what a Medici Living Group is.
Hello. So first of all, thanks for having me. Medici Living Group is actually the number one co-living player in the market. And what we're doing actually around co-living is really like creating a product for housing for millennials with a focus on A, technology. So we're kind of like creating a nice tech interface. And B, what's even more important is everything related to community. So we have like amazing community spaces in each of our buildings. We do events. And we curate the people together.
So you are building a building here, and it will be co-lived by young people, millennials, and working on projects and maybe working together on projects. And you're there also to live, not just to work.
Exactly. So actually, the building is already live. It's in Fulton Market, which is an amazing area between the Google and McDonald's headquarters. And the people, they actually live there together. And we just connect them. And it's a lot of people that are from the tech world. It's also entrepreneurs, but it's also just like young professionals in general that are coming maybe from another city. They want to have a convenient solution. They don't want to shop around forever. And actually, they just need to bring their suitcase. So furniture, a lot of services, and the community, that's everything included.
It sounds like you say this is geared towards millennials, but this may be an easier sell for the younger end of the millennial spectrum, someone who may be just out of college or a couple of years removed from it, because the Medici living experience seems kind of like a dorm for postgrads. It's a college dormitory type experience.
Exactly. You're right there.
And so is that kind of where the marketing is going, or do you anticipate people who are maybe on the older end of the millennial spectrum who are used to having their own space might be okay or comfortable with group spaces once again?
It's actually a lot of people that just graduated from college and they're really like looking for their next step in life. So they're starting their first job career steps, and those are the people that our product makes a lot of sense for.
What kind of money are we talking about? How much does it cost to be there?
So Fulton Market, we start at $990, and I think the average is around $1,300-$1,400 per bed. Yeah? So you would usually like share an apartment with like 2, 3, 4 other people. Everybody would have like his own room, and this is how it works.
How long typically does a resident stay?
So we have a very flexible solution. So you can move in like with a 3-month minimum and then leave whenever you want to make it really like tailored to the millennials. And an average people would stay around a year.
Well, Gunter, thank you very much for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. It's 7:45 in Berlin, so I'm glad we caught you during civilized hours. Gunter Schmidt, founder and CEO of the Medici Living Group based in Berlin, Germany, and they are coming to the Fulton Market District. Still to come, time to raise a glass in honor of Chicago's top bars.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago's best bars, bar crews, and cocktails have been honored at the annual Time Out Bar Awards. Joining us is Morgan Olson, the editor of Time Out Chicago. Their website is timeout.com/Chicago. Morgan, welcome back to the program. When assessing the best bars, bar crews, and cocktails in Chicago, what's your research style?
Well, there's lots of tasting involved, lots of late nights involved. But in all seriousness, we assembled a panel of experts from across the city. So bar owners, bartenders, just the best in the business to really help us flesh out who the nominees would be and then also choose the winners. So these are, you know, really well-researched people who do their job well.
That's it's a real massive field to try and winnow down into just a couple of categories, because you're talking about corner taverns, you're talking about luxury concepts, hotel bars, chains. How do you winnow it down into something that that you can actually pick out winners?
Absolutely. It's tough. We took everyone's submissions from the panel and just kind of had open discussions about, you know, where things belonged. It was really tough to whittle it down to the top five for each category.
This is certainly an upscale number of beer and wine bars that we have mm-hmm. here. I don't see anyone representing a Division Street.
Well, we do have, I guess, Rainbow Club is off of Division in Wicker Park as the best dive bar that won. So, yes, we do have some Wicker Park Division Street representation. But, again, just like last year, a lot of the bars represented here are up in the Logan Square area.
And the bar of the year is?
Yeah, so that one is Lost Lake, won the big prize this year. And they've been around for 3 years and have just really impressed not only myself and our staff here, but the judges too, with what they've been able to do over the last 3 years, every year just reinventing themselves, putting out a stellar menu of both drinks and food. So they really deserve this win this year.
You have the Sportsman Club as the best bar crew. What's the criteria there? I mean, do they throw the gear around like Tom Cruise in Cocktail? Like, what makes them the best in Chicago?
That's a really good question. Yeah, it's a bar team that you go into the bar and you order something, and you know that the group behind the bar, you know, there's no drama, there's no, you know, nonsense happening. They're working together to get you your drink. And not only that, they're having a really good time doing it, which is very contagious when it comes to, you know, the audience in the room, the clientele. It's one of those things that you can actually feel when you're in a bar.
You mentioned the best dive bar in Chicago. How does one improve on the list? And second, what happened to the L&L Tavern at Clark and Belmont? It seemed like that place had the award locked up in perpetuity.
This one's tough because there are so many dive bars still in Chicago, but there's such a big turnover rate, and there's all these kind of nouveau dive bars. So our criteria for actual dive bars is a historical place, a place that has been around for forever. It's no frills. It's no fancy cocktails. It's a dollar shot and a can of something cheap. So yes, we tried to keep it really real in this section, but there's a lot of good dives that got left off.
Well, thanks a lot. Morgan Olson, editor of Time Out Chicago, the website timeout.com/Chicago. You'll find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour, and we're sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Parenti.
Chris, it's shaping up to be a weekly loss for the three main averages, but a win on the day and a win for the month of June. The Dow right now higher by 246 points, NASDAQ gaining 47, and the S&P higher by 20. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining 0.2%. We're seeing some headlines crossing about General Motors, the carmaker saying it may have to lay off some employees and reduce its U.S. presence as a result of auto import tariffs. GM says the tariffs risk provoking retaliation by other countries. Stock in GM is down more than 1%. With business at 25 and 55. Live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.